Good morning. Welcome to this day of worship at Ripley Presbyterian Church. It's good to see you and be with you in the sanctuary and those of you who are joining us virtually this morning. This is the day our Lord has made. Let us prepare to worship our God in joy and gladness. And before we worship, let's share a few moments to lift up together any joys or concerns that we have in our worship community. We do want to add to our prayer list Miss Opal LeBrier. Nancy shared that concern with us. She and Joey. Now, Joey's mama. That's what I thought. Joey LeBrier's mama. And we want to be prayerful for Miss Opal. She's hospitalized and needing our prayers and loving support for their family this morning. Continue to pray for my mom as she battles her eye troubles, getting a little bit better, but she's not being able to see as well from cataract surgery. So we be prayerful for her. Pray for my uncle Danny Wilbanks, who continues to battle health concerns, and he's had a setback in his health. So let's lift him and his family up. Also, his new grandson, Steele, we want to be prayerful for. He's just 2 weeks old, and he's had some issues with his, had some bleeding, actually, I think, on his brain as a young child. So we want to be prayerful for their family, too. Are there other prayer lists or updates we want to share today for our church family? Yeah, Jennifer shared with us, shared with me that Shirley's having some nerve troubles in her arm. So we all know how troubling that can be, those nerve pains. So be prayerful for Shirley, Jennifer, all of her loved ones, that she will get some relief and recovery soon. I know I had another prayer list, prayer concern here today. Okay, do you all have any others to share this morning?
Jerry, my first cousin, Dr. Bobby Cook, retired from Tennessee, passed away from coronavirus.
Okay, Barry. Bobby Cook.
Right.
Okay, Bobby Cook's family from Dyersburg, Barry's cousin, died of coronavirus. We want to be prayerful for he and his family. Also, the coronavirus, friends of ours from Olive Branch, we're going to be prayerful for Jim Yates, and he's battling in the hospital in ICU, so we'll be prayerful for him and his family. Are there others this morning? Okay. If there are none, let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we share together in our praise.
Thank you.
I don't know about you all, but some days I need worship more than others. And some days I need to hear a beautiful prelude like that more than others. Thank you, Lynn, setting my heart in the mood to celebrate our God's love and our time for each other. Let us share now in a call to worship from Psalm 116. Then I call on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Friends, would you join with me now in worship as we consider together our sinfulness and the restoration we find in our holy God? Let's pray a prayer of confession. We confess that we have sacrificed your goodness for material goods. We have meditated on our problems instead of meditating on your promises. We have shunned your faithful love by seeking solace in sinful places. We humbly seek your mercy, O Lord. Please forgive our rebellion and ignorance, our wayward hearts and loose tongues. Restore us, O Lord, to the joy of your salvation, and make us willing to obey you. Amen. These words that declare our forgiveness. What then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not withhold the beloved Son, but gave him up for all of us, will God not also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This morning's first reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 8, beginning in the 27th verse. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray together once more. Oh God, we bow in your presence, giving thanks for these words of life that we've heard. The words of your scripture that called us to worship. The words that we prayed confessing our sin and hearing your forgiveness. And now, God, we ask that you help us to meditate upon all of these words of scripture, that you may breathe into us as your children comfort and correction, hope and reassurance, guidance for our life's journey, and a reminder and proclamation that no matter where we go or how far we wander, We are yours. We are beloved. Come, O Holy Spirit, through the powers and miracles of your grace, breathe life into us in the words of these scriptures, the reflection upon this sermon, meditations of all of our hearts. In Christ we pray. Amen. Greetings to those of you joining us virtually. I see Ann Elliott, Linda Locke, Sherry Hill, Ginger Britt. We've got folks. We may even have some folks in other parts of the, in other countries. They may even be people from Louisiana on here today, Bryce, watching. We never know. Blessings. Good to be with you. It truly is. We're going to share our second reading today from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 8. No, we're not. We're going to do James. I was reading Jennifer's text there. We don't want to read it again, do we, Jen? excuse me. The book of James, and that's going to be found, if you want to follow along, on page 230 in your pew Bible in the New Testament portion. That's the second section of your Bible. I'm still battling a little bit of allergies, so y'all may hear me clear my throat a lot today. And I'm all negative. Monya and I both had rough headaches and just were feeling whipped. I don't know about y'all, so we got tested this past week, but it's that old crud, I think, Pat, that's going around. Ragweed. Tough time for that, isn't it? Okay. Had to chase that squirrel a minute, Kenny. We have been known to chase. You know, simple-minded people, it's easy to chase a squirrel because you get lose track of what you're thinking about, Tommy, quite easily. Not a lot going on in here. I'm letting y'all see my cards, huh? Okay. I digress. Back to our sermon. From James chapter 3, Wayne, beginning with verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us who make many mistakes, anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, they are guided by a small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptile and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a paraphrase to a scripture that says to us, out of the mouths of babes comes wisdom, right? And guidance, even for our faith. Well, we have a member of our body named Mr. Sam Steverson who proclaimed wisdom last year. How old is Sam now, Diane? Three going on something, right? Anytime you're three, you're going on something. And little Sam, he got in a little bit of trouble for talking too much in school recently. You know, I had that problem at times, Price, when I was a young one. And they wanted to reframe it, not to talk so much. And Sam proclaimed about midway, may have been early in my sermon last week, that guy in that black jacket up there is talking too much. He's going to get in trouble. So the guy in the black jacket is not going to try to talk quite as much today. But Sam had a great message for us. Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we, as people, not only talk too much in quantity, but talk too much in quality. We can say the wrong things, right? We certainly receive that message pretty bluntly today from James, the brother of Jesus, when he talked of the actual destruction that can come not only when we talk too much, but when we talk the words that beat one another down, that take life from those around us and don't promote the love of the Lord who came to serve us and save us. Our words, like Sam said, matter. So James in this text today really emphasizes the negative aspects or the controlling destruction that can happen when we use our words and maybe we would say actions to harm others. He says to us, let us guard our words. He was really preaching to Jennifer Holston here very early in the text when he said, we who are teachers need to be careful. But he wasn't just talking about educational teachers, was he, Jen? He was talking about all of us. I think, certainly teachers of the faith, but aren't we all disciples of Christ? Teachers of the way of love and life, and should guard our words and actions in ways that don't set things ablaze like the small fire that becomes a raging blaze that James spoke of. In fact, I think if we listen for James' message in fresh ears today, that not only is there a call in our faith to guard our words against negativity, against destruction, against peril, but to embrace our words to make sure they proclaim the opposite. Positivity, life, hope, and love. The fruit of the Spirit. You know, when I am praying with our church session, and oftentimes our leadership team at the seminary, my prayer is that God may we embody in our discernment together the fruit of your Spirit. Of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. May those be the attributes that we communicate in our time together, in our deliberation to lead a people in your way. That's what it means to teach in the ways of Christ, to embody Christ as well. You know, several years ago when I was, Manya and I and the family were living in St. Louis, and I was working with a dealer for Caterpillar Incorporated with construction equipment. We went out to the Gallup organization in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, many of you are familiar with that term, Gallup, as a polling industry where they often poll the election results and give us, and they are an analytical company, but they're also more than just analyticals. They're an advisory company of how you move people forward in a constructive way. From their research and a couple of their esteemed representatives, there was a book written around 2006 titled, How Full Is Your Bucket? And the whole premise of the book was built upon that each of us, as people, as humans, have a bucket and a dipper. And those around us have the capacity of adding to our bucket or taking from our bucket. And in fact, their research, based off psychological research and analytical data from business and leadership, determined that for every negative comment or negative interaction we have from someone, it takes out 5 dips from the bucket. So it takes 5 positive comments or interactions to offset just 1 negative interaction with another. Our words matter. Our actions, the way we present ourselves with our family, with our children, with our co-workers, matters to their well-being and their response to the world around them too. So the question is, as we wrestle with today, how can we fill the buckets of those around us? And in the process, I believe that when we're committed to enhancing the life of others, we enhance the joy of ourselves as well. In other words, it gives life to us when we give life to another, when we promote love in the name of Christ. James uses beautiful imagery in our text today. He speaks of that bridle, that small object that can control a large beast sometimes, right, Kenny? Sometimes those bridles don't work so good. I've even heard that horses will bite those bridles, Lamont, and decide they're going to go their own way. But if all works well, that small bridle can control that large beast of an animal. And James also says that a huge ship, even though the winds power it, are navigated and controlled by that small rudder. He says that's the power that we have, friends, through our tongue, through our actions, through what we give to others. Are we going to navigate them in the way of life or destruction? So today, as we think about that power of ship, I know that I have spoken to some of you before about the principles of leadership that I think speak to our faith. But as we think about that rudder on that ship today, may we reason together ways that we can embody attributes of our Lord to help those on their ship of life to find their way to victory, the preferred path to restoration of those around us and of ourselves in the process. So the ship that James speaks of, that when we're giving words of life, the first letter that I think of, or the first example of that attribute from the letter S of ship, is to be servants of those around us. James speaks of, throughout this book, the importance of turning away from your willingness to only serve yourselves, to only serve those that can benefit you as you decide who to welcome, he says, at the banquet and give the choice seats. James says no to truly embody our faith. Be a servant to all. Friends, may we, as we seek to give words of life, give words that serve the other. Promote actions that fill the buckets of others by not seeking to serve ourselves, but to empty ourselves and serve the other. And I believe in emptying ourselves, we will fill ourselves more with the love of Christ. Those are ways that we move the ship of others on their journey toward victory and find life-sustaining love ourselves. The second principle of the ship, of the rudder that guides people on the life to victory, is the H. And may we, as people of Christ, embody humility. You see, James embraces and alludes to humility throughout this book when he proclaims that we need to rely upon God for our strength to do what we can. He says that it's not only about our faith, but if our faith has no action, it is simply dead. He says, humble ourselves for those around us. Friends, when we approach our faith, our work, our career, our school, our teams with humility, realizing that we need wisdom and strength from on high, realizing that we have nothing ourselves without God's grace, then we are more willing in our humility to serve others positively with our words of life and love. You see, if we think we've earned it all, we deserve it all, we're less likely to be humble in our service to others, in our eagerness to fill the bucket of those around us. But when we pause long enough to consider that all we have is only because of God's grace, then in our humility, we're more likely to fill those around us with life and love. The eye of the ship, as we seek to embody these words that build up instead of tear down, speaks of integrity. You see, James proclaims throughout his book, as we summarize this great letter that James wrote, the brother of Jesus today, he spoke of guarding our words. Let our yes be yes. Let us be honest in what we say and not manipulative. I don't know about y'all, but I've heard it said and I found it to be true more and more. If we're always honest, we don't have to even remember what we said, right? If we're making up lies and living a lie in ourselves all the time, we have to keep track of them. We have to remember our excuses. But if we're honest and we strive to live out our integrity, then there will be a wholeness and a peace in us, even as we communicate that with others. May our motives in our words, in our actions, in our interactions with others seek to embody integrity for those around us and for the faith. Not self-serving, humble, and genuine in our efforts to represent Christ to a world in need. And finally, the P of the ship, as we seek to help people find their journey, give them life, sail them in the right direction of God's glory. It reminds me of how we embody these attributes. How do we embody more of a nature, Deborah, to be a servant, to be humble, and to promote integrity? The P of ship reminds us where our strength is. It's in prayer. It's in prayer, the very embodiment of knowing once again that we can't even represent Christ to those around us without Christ's strength. That's our plea to the Holy Spirit. Oh Spirit, breathe into me the guidance in life to be the best husband I can be, the best co-worker, the best servant as a teacher, patient in my instruction in class, the best community leader who's seeking not to serve myself, to live out, Barry, with integrity in our civil government, to serve the greater good of those around us. When we embody these attributes of servanthood, humility, and integrity, that commitment is strengthened, church, by this, by prayer. I don't say that to you as preacher talk. I say that to you as a person who's sought the strength of the faith on his own, but found at the end of myself, when I rely more fully on my prayer, on my surrender, to say, God be in me what I can't be alone. Then I find myself strengthened. I find myself more patient, more willing to serve, more humble and eager to live out God's love with all around me in this commission of James to be words of life. You see, friends, as we close today, I embrace this calling of James. But most of all, as I try to be a ship for those around me, I remember this, dear church, and hear it with me today, that most of all, the good news of our faith is that Jesus the Christ, became a ship for us. You see, Paul said it this way. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul said, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but yet he humbled himself and became a servant for you. Friends, may we know today that our words matter. May we embody that commission of our Lord Jesus, who was so committed to words that he said this, I am the Word made flesh. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Friends, may you know that Jesus is your word of life, and give his life to those around us for his glory. It's in his holy name that we seek to serve. Amen. I invite you now, as we lift up together joys and concerns for our faith community, for our community beyond these walls, there is power once more in prayer. So let us, joining us virtually, those of you joining us in this sacred setting, join our hearts and minds together as we pray for one another and with one another for God's miracles of grace. Let us pray. Oh God, we bow in your presence, humbly surrendering, aware that we need more of you, O Lord, and less of us. Not only do we personally need more of you, God, but our world needs more of you. Help us as your church to be your light in darkness, to be your love, to conquer hate, to be your hands and feet, to sustain those who are trembling. God, may we receive this message from James, that our words and actions should build up for the sake of your kingdom and affirm you to those around us. We pray for the ministry of your church. Yes, for this congregation. Make us be your light and love in this community. But even beyond these walls, we enhance our ministries to the world around us and even beyond our congregation, wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will you inspire and empower your people in ministry. God, we pray for our nation. We remember the lives of those who were lost and the impact of our country 20 years ago yesterday on 9/11. We give thanks for the first responders, those who selflessly lived out their love for the sake of others. Help us, O God, to always remember the good attributes of those who lived outside of themselves and exemplified your love for us as we seek to serve in that same way that will glorify your name and reflect you to all around us. We pray for healing in our land. May we as a people, O God, seek to serve one another and with one another in ways that make us the strongest nation in the world, so in our strength we can serve and humbly embrace others in your ways and for your glory. We pray, God, for the weak, the sick, the hopeless, and the hurting, for the lonely, the lost, the orphaned, and widowed. We pray for those facing perils of many kind, whether they be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, or professional. Oh God, you are the great physician. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those that we've spoken today, for every name written on our prayer list today, for those that we're speaking now in our mind's eye. We pray for each other and with one another. We surrender our needs, O God, even more than our wants to you. Will you bring healing and homes. God, we pray for our friends and family, those you've entrusted us to most of all. We pray for those from whom we're estranged, even our enemies. We pray that you use us, O God, in ways that are pleasing to you as we live out our love that we've received so graciously from you. And now, Lord, as your children, those who are claimed by you and given life and love by you, we join our voices as one and say in prayer the words you taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to depart, may we go forth from this place remembering who we are and what we believe, but more importantly, who we believe in. Will you join with me as we together affirm our faith in our God? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What great pleasure and joy it gives me to fill your bucket today by offering you God's blessing as his precious children. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen. Beautiful, wasn't it? Y'all still here? Bye-bye. Have a great week.